Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson. And joining us on the phones now is Brian Scalabrini, NBC Sports Boston. Scal is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow. And by FindMassMoney.gov. Scal, how we doing out west this week?
Well, I'm not out west.
Oh.
Because Eddie's doing those games. Yeah, so I'll head out to do San Antonio and Memphis.
Oh, okay. Those are past my bedtime. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like the late
games. I know. It's pretty late. Past my bedtime, too.
So I guess the story of the week is obviously Jason Tatum's ankle. Sabonis kind of undercuts him, gets that landing space flagrant foul.
Bush.
What were your thoughts on that? Is that a dirty play? Is it just unfortunate because your guy gets hurt? How do you look at that whole development?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is happens all the time to Jason Tatum because he's big in step backs and he's got a high release. So if you're going to challenge his shot, you got to get into his airspace. So it's the NBA's job to protect Tatum, and they haven't called that flagrant. And he's been getting undercut all year. I don't look at it as a dirty play. Like, guys are trying to block shots. Like, it's just what it is. The NBA put that in place so superstar players wouldn't miss, you know, playoff games, whatever. You can go all the way back. You know, the San Antonio Spurs are busting up the Golden State Warriors with Kawhi Leonard. He gets hurt, and that series was never the same. So you don't want to see star players missing. So I hope moving forward the NBA looks at this and says, hey, anytime anybody gets anywhere close to Jason Tatum, you call the foul, you go to the monitor, and you find out if it's a flagrant.
Just Jason Tatum or anybody else?
Well, I mean, it does happen. It's like Kevin Durant's in the same category. There's certain players that that can shoot, you know, with off the dribble with a step back. And when you step back and you're trying to get back to their airspace, the end result is that play. And for whatever reason, like, you're supposed to protect the guy. And they didn't. I think everybody, we don't want to see the playoffs decided by a contested three where a guy gets his ankle sprained and they're out.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. And, you know, at this point now, Scal, for me, like, it's bubble wrap. I know he's questionable for tonight. Just bubble wrap him until the playoffs. I know you got to try to stretch him out as well, but you can't afford to make that injury any worse. I kind of wanted to get a feel. What do you think about the new owner? Are you a big Bill Chisholm guy?
I don't remember having many interactions with him so far. You know, like the team, all that stuff happened, and the team has been on the road. I haven't had a home game yet, so I'm sure I'll be at events and I'll see him and all that stuff. But, you know, what I do like is all the messaging. The messaging, it's about winning nowadays. And it's so easy to complain about salaries and aprons and taxes or anything like that. And it's hard to, you know, buy a team, have success, have all these great players, and say, like, the NBA has made it not prohibitive to go out there and try to win. And I'm happy that he's saying all the right things, because we have a really special group, and I think that they have a chance to stack up another championship, maybe another one after that. But it all comes down to the owner and that owner deciding, you know, to pay the salaries and go into the tax, and that's not an easy thing to do. You're doing the right thing by your fan base. You're doing the right thing by your organization, but you're getting penalized big time by the NBA.
Scal, I was listening to my old friend Nick Wright on FS1 earlier today, talking about, you know, he's hearing things, maybe KD to Boston, you know, Jaylen Brown maybe getting moved, and that KD could be an option for Boston. And I just, besides that take, it just struck me as, you know, there was a few years ago where Kyrie and KD were on the, doing a presser and not saying the best things about Boston. And you kind of just look at where the franchise is, winning last year, and then just it just feels like a healthy franchise right now. Do you feel that maybe Boston is looked at differently now, that maybe this is a destination, this team, the Celtics?
I don't know about that yet because we haven't had cap space in a while the way that Brad has done it. Like, the only thing I could say is not just Celtics, you know, I don't know how it was at the Patriots or anything like that, but it seems like people want to be here. And, you know, like they treat athletes like rock stars, and you have a good life during the time you're here. You have a good post-career life. So I think people do look at Boston as a cool place to play, the fan base. And I know a lot of times you'll see visitors say, man, is it like this every single night? And the answer is yes. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday and they're playing whoever, like the crowd's going to show up. So I think a lot of people like that. I mean, if you watch League Pass, there's some dreaded places that people care. They're just there to be entertained. They're not passionate. So I do think that people want to come and play in Boston, because you could talk to anybody that has played here, and I would say 95 to 98% of the people have really enjoyed, you know, being a Boston sports figure.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Scal, we have a little troll of a texter who likes to get all over JB, and got all over him the other night for 9 points and not a great game, even when Tatum goes down. And I'm just wondering, JB probably hasn't had his best season. You know, there's been the knee issue and there's been some ups and downs, a few ugly nights. But just where do you think he's at over the course of this season heading toward the postseason?
I don't really know. When you get injured, especially a guy as athletic as him, I think it could take away from, you know, your explosiveness. But, I don't know. I gotta be honest with you. Some nights you see him play when Jason Tatum's out of the game and he looks like a featured guy that can create and he can run pick and roll and he has that mid-range shot, but he also can move the ball. And other nights when he's out there, it's like, you know, he wanted to be that Jaylen Brown that we saw last year in the conference finals and in the NBA finals that was super aggressive. And then we watched him play the Dallas game. It's one of the best games he's played. Like, he locked up Luka. He dominated that game. So I don't really know. Like, I don't know what is going through the head of Jaylen Brown and what motivates him. You know, is it a weird season because he already has a bunch of accomplishments? Like, he's already been an all-NBA player. He's already have a conference finals and finals MVP. Is he just waiting for the playoffs? I have really no idea what that is, but I know what his ceiling is. And his ceiling is he was one of our most dominant players last year. So I just only assume that when the playoffs roll around that he'll flip that switch again. And he dominates the game in three areas. Defensively, he loves to guard those bigger guards, which is good because it takes pressure off of Drew Holiday. Derek White is more of our quick guard defender. And then the other one is his ability to play off 2 feet. And when you can do that and get to the paint with all the shooting, it really puts a ton of pressure, you know, on the coaches. And the third one is when he's locked in, his playmaking is as good as it could be, like as good as he was last year when in the NBA Finals he had, I think he had 9 assists or 7 assists or something like that. So if that Jaylen Brown shows up through the NBA Finals, NBA playoffs, that Jaylen Brown is going to be just fine.
Hey, Scal, I saw this piece that Kayla Burton over at NBC Sports Boston did with Derek White this week where he talked about kind of getting into a bit of a depression, like a funk midseason personally, and was losing his love of the game and had to almost learn to re-love it and rediscover his passion for playing basketball again this season, which I guess can kind of explain why he, like the team and so many other aspects, experienced a mid-season swoon. Were you familiar with that, or did you just learn of that recently as well?
Yeah, I knew he was like wasn't playing well, but you know, when you're like, I'd say this, star players who have been stars for a long time, I think that those guys handle the Olympics really well. And even then it could be tough. Like, you can have a drop off a little bit, but you know, like Derek White and Holiday, like the off season is important for those guys to be operating on a super high level, to be their bodies, to be locked in. It's just what I mean by that is, like, a star can carry an injury and still be really good. But if you're nursing a hand or a foot or a hip or a back or whatever, and you're a role player, your margin for error goes down. So a lot of times, I don't know if he would have said this, but the only time as a player I felt down and out is when I was hurt, like nursing something, right? Like my back, or I just couldn't play the way I wanted to because I have so little room for error. I have to be feeling like $1 million and to go out there and my back and everything great for me to play great. But, you know, for a guy like Derek White going to the Olympics and everything that he's done, I wonder if it was like just a lot when you add in an NBA Finals, then you go to the Olympics, and now you're back. It could just have been too much basketball. And I think that's kind of is typical for guys who are sort of role players. If you go back when the Bucks won the championship, Chris Middleton has never been the same since that time. And I kind of blame it on the Olympics. He just has been nursing an injury, and I wonder if he regrets going to the Olympics.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, he seems to be, though, have figured it out. He's playing like the Derek White of old. But I'm just, real quick, just your thoughts on the L.A. Lakers. I mean, the Luka Doncic trade, people wondered what the heck Dallas was thinking, but it showed, obviously, when he got there, the Lakers got all the way up to the 2 seed in the West. But I don't know. They've lost the last 3 games that they've played. I mean, in last game, LeBron was the worst at minus 17, and then the game before that against Chicago, he was the worst plus minus at minus 24. Have you seen the Lakers?
Yep.
You know, recently, you got any thoughts on maybe what's going on there in L.A.?
Yeah. So when they made that trade, if anybody that's a basketball head would have said, "How is this team going to guard?" and they went to the number one defensive team in the NBA, and they were doing that for about, I think it was 11 weeks, or maybe it was maybe 8 weeks, right around there. Like, they were dominant, and now they don't guard anybody. So I'm assuming, like, they're not as bad as what we're seeing right now, and they probably weren't as good defensively as what we were seeing back then. They're somewhere in the middle. So they've had some teams where they're playing teams that shoot the three well, and they're not guarding the three well. But then there are other nights when they play, like, Nikola Jokic, they have this elaborate game plan that works. So I just think it's the season. I don't think they want to be the third seed. I think they're really happy 4 or 5 playing Memphis Grizzlies in the first round. And I think they're kind of conserving and focusing more on, you know, the postseason. But I was shocked that they were that good defensively, and now I'm shocked that they're this bad defensively. I actually think they're somewhere in the middle of that.
All right, Scal, appreciate you joining us today. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
All right, sounds good.
See you, man. Thanks, Scal.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. And speaking of the Celtics, I listened to a podcast on the way in that everybody, one of the biggest in the world, I guess, now, the New Heights podcast, the Kelce brothers, Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce.
It wasn't your Bible podcast?
Okay. It was not. That's on the way home.
Gotcha.
Snarky McSnark snark.
To atone for your sins on today's
You're
show.
You're going to hell, and I'm going right to heaven, thanks to one podcast. Anyway.
Sure.
Jason Tatum was their guest. Today's episode, they had a nice chat with Jason Tatum that I came in and told these guys, and we'll play some audio from it in a minute, including some explaining his health right now. But
did he let his guard down a little bit? Did he
chum it up with him? 100%.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Engaging and likable.
It's athletes talking to athletes.
If this Jason Tatum, and I would urge any Celtics fan, especially Celtics fans like me, who feel like
hate
they,
on Jason Tatum.
If you want to say hate, you got it. I was going to choose to package it a little
just
differently.
Hard on him or critical.
Or just don't have just the connection they feel like they should have for the superstar that he is.
I've thought similarly to you for a long time.
So listen to this podcast, and he needs to get this out there. He needs to project this like freaking SGA's logo on the side of the garden. It needs to be on speakers, rent vans, have him drive down the street because he's engaging, genuine, likable, just tremendously well done. But the first and foremost, the first clip that I want to share with you is him talking about his ankle because it's fresh off the injury. He joined these guys via Zoom. And I think this right here, what you hear, will kind of ease your concerns.
And we saw the ankle injury up there in Sacramento, man. Hopefully everything's good. How's everything feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. It's a few benefits to being 27. You know, you recover a little bit faster.
Let them know.
I'll be all right.
Man, what it was like.
Ooh, I can remember the day.
I sprained my calf jumping rope the other day. That's what I did.
That was Jason Kelce, very self-deprecating throughout this. Mm-hmm. At one point, he talks about he got some sort of a scan and found out he has 58 pounds of fat on his body that he wants to lose. 21% body fat or something. Bigger guy. He was an offensive lineman. He's still working through the post
career. He's not as bad as some guys.
No. But Jason Tatum, he's 27 years old. He thinks he's going to be all right. He's recovering well. That's great. One of the funny aspects of this, they asked him about Joe Mazzulla. And he had a technical recently, and the way Tatum explains how that went down with Joe Mazzulla sounds like typical Mazzulla, the kind of whack job that he is, and gives you an insight onto their relationship as well.
Like playing for Joe.
Joe is crazy.
He seems like quite the character.
We actually talked about you. We played Portland the other day. I got a tech. The game was basically over. I ended up getting a tech with like 30 seconds left.
I'm always here for a good fourth quarter tech.
Joe, he comes up to me after the game. If you get like 16 or 17 techs, you get suspended for a game. So damn. Joe, like, yo, can you just get four more so you can get suspended? I'm like, Joe, I think I'm done. He like, I would much rather you just come punch me. I want to fight. He's like, when Travis Kelce ran into Andy Reid, do that to me.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
That's so funny. Shout out to Coach Reid for being the man.
You should have. You did run into an old man with like a fake hip. So I'm not sure we need to go that far. And Joe Mazzulla's younger, so he can. Hey, notice he always chooses violence, Joe Mazzulla.
I think just good natured violence.
Yeah, no, I know, but
nothing too serious.
Good natured. Yeah, come punch
that
me.
Was great.
Oh, good old natured violence.
You know? Well, he had that theory last year where he believes there should be more fighting, not only in the NBA but the whole world, and everybody gets a token. Or four tokens a year that you can challenge.
An kind of thing there.
Yeah.
He's a sociopath, but he's our sociopath.
No, yeah. We've all run into
people. Wakanda? My God.
We've all run into those people that you're like, you kind of need to get smacked.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I think he does, though? I think he keeps it fresh for those guys. Like, they don't know what's going to happen next with him. And so I think that's part of, you hear Scal talk about, you know, coaches need to change up their, you know, how their tone, their tenor, how they talk to guys. They need to kind of, you know, maybe be unpredictable, I think, to sometimes be a successful coach in the NBA because there's so many damn games.
And I'm sure, you know, the average player, the average star player and the average coach gets a technical, is waiting to walk over and hear, you know, what the hell are you doing? Why? What are you doing? The game's almost, instead you get, why don't you just punch me? Let's just fight.
Just don't stop at this technical.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Like, so he definitely has an ability to push buttons and, whatever. We've talked about this, going back to the inflection point game against the Heat, but he clearly has a relationship with Jason Tatum, and that's the most important relationship an NBA head coach can have.
Yeah.
You keep your star happy, and you keep your owner happy. You're keeping your job. That's job security.
That's how he got from the back bench to the front bench,
because
Tatum was his biggest supporter when Ime got the boot.
And then, Ted, do you know, there's a nickname that makes the rounds for Jason Tatum, not JT. It's another one that I don't love, doesn't sound like he loves, and then he shares what his nickname is.
Wikipedia's got you nicknamed the Anomaly. Has anybody that is close to you ever actually called you the Anomaly?
Man, Twitter is not a real place, I'll say.
They really, in
they
wrestling.
Yuck it up there, man.
They give you the sell.
Everything is the funniest thing they've ever heard.
You tell a joke, they're going to sell it for you. They're going to help you out, get over with the crowd, like that laugh track. But that's who they are as well.
Yeah, they're pretty
brothers.
Much who they are all the time.
Yeah, and so I would urge anybody, if you're a Celtics fan, listen to that podcast. You can fast forward through. They go through like Cleveland and the new stadium and blah, 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 blah. Get to the Tatum part. And listen to whatever it is, 45 minutes of Jason Tatum. And I think if you're a fan of his, you'll like him even more. And if you're a hater like me, as Stiz would call me, you'll like him more than you liked him previously. I'm not saying you're going to fall in love with him overnight, but I think a side of his personality makeup got shared.
I'm liking him more and more this year than I ever have.
Me too.
I think it's just the way he's handled being a champion. I feel like he's still locked in. I don't feel him ever taking the foot off. And I kind of am like, you know what? He might not be the killer I want him to be, but he's not a jackass. And he doesn't, you know, he wants to play. And he's out there as much as he can. And so, you know, his leadership style isn't maybe what I wanted it to be, but I'm starting to come around on, that's okay. He can be the way he is. It's still effective. And, you know, as long as the team responds to him in his leadership style, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. And really all that matters is win. put up another banner and you're going to be an all-time great, one of the greatest Celtics of all time, and you're collecting banners and rings the way you're supposed to when you're a green teamer. 617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to get back to Dan Ball's work. He put in a lot of work to come up with some projections for the Boston Red Sox this season that we were going to use, and then Alex Cora joined us, and we kind of got off script there. Garrett Crochet, Tristan Casas, all the Red Sox. What are they going to do this year? Dan Ball will look in his magic ball and tell you. Up next on WEEI Afternoons.